From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
This is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And today's show, we have Kelly Resendez, and we're going to be talking about masterminds, right? These are these small groups that you can join up to help you advance the ball. Because, you know, if you really want to win, you need to put yourself in position to win. And that means putting yourself around the best, people who have been there, done that, people maybe who are walking through in the same shoes that you are walking in. And today Kelly shares some of her insights in that realm. So stick around and hear what Kelly Resendez is working on. She is just a wealth of knowledge. So stick around, my friends.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
And now I am here with Kelly Resendez. She is a successful author, business executive, as well as somebody who is involved in mastermind type of things, and she's an owner of a mastermind kind of company. So we're going to talk about that today, but we might talk a little bit about parenting, self-care, and just like, hey, life can be a little bit difficult when you are attempting to achieve great things. So welcome to the show, Kelly.
Oh my gosh, Mark. Thank you for having me. I always have so much fun with you.
I appreciate you being here. Why don't we first maybe get a little bit of your background for our audience? You've had a lot of success, and maybe what your, you know, main focus is today.
Absolutely. So I would tell you that I was a classic overachiever. And fortunately, I got into the mortgage industry at a very early age. So had early success in my 20s in becoming one of the top 1% of loan officers in the nation through companies like Washington Mutual and Wells Fargo. And I would tell you that I had my life awakening in 2004, where I really started to see that there was more to life than just achieving and striving for significance. And what that allowed me to do is really just make some shifts to create, you know, more mindfulness in my life, more balance, more joy. And I found a different way of really being able to create even more success for myself without having to feel like I needed to kill myself. Hmm. So currently today, I'm an executive at GoodLeap, one of the nation's largest solar financing and green energy financing companies out there, and oversee a couple divisions. But I also have a few aunts. I'm a mom, which is my favorite job, to two teenagers, one in college and one in high school still. I'm also a writer and a speaker, which was really my way of giving back. And that is what my life really is guided by, is just making a positive impact in other people's lives so that they can have more joy and reduce the self-suffering that really comes along with a lot of times overachieving. And then I'm also a part of several masterminds, which has allowed me to feel more connected. You know, I will tell you, one of the most challenging things that entrepreneurs and successful people face is that isolation or feeling like you can't share your success with other people. And, you know, we know, like Tony Robbins says, proximity is power, and finding masterminds and ways to connect with other people has been a really meaningful way for me to do that.
Well, let's start there then, and maybe we can work sort of through some of these topics. What's a mastermind?
Yeah, so a mastermind is really just a group of like-minded people that have things in common. Most of the ones that I'm in, you know, we want adventure, financial freedom, so you have enough passive income to be able to pay your monthly expenses. So lots of investment talk and finding ways to be able to do that. And then also just making, you know, self-care and health a priority too. So really more about creating a whole life success plan versus just being a business success plan.
So it's like a peer-to-peer small group experience. I've been in something called the Entrepreneurs Organization, been the president of EO for a few years, and it's not quite mastermind, but we do get into small groups. And when you're with peers, you can kind of let your hair down a little bit, I feel like. Maybe because when you're around your employees, sometimes it's like, well, you just keep everything professional. You get around other people that are going through the same sort of challenges that you are, and it can be therapeutic.
Absolutely. Well, one of the challenges that some people have is that they feel like they're the smartest person in the room. Well, how are you going to grow and constantly push yourself to the next level if that's the case? And when you're a part of a mastermind like M10 or GoBundance that I'm in, it allows you to really learn in creative ways to be able to do other things too. And you might just see things a lot differently or see opportunities that you wouldn't have before. It also brings a level of accountability to the table. You know, we have a lot of in-person events. And so you do have that accountability that your peers are looking to you towards having more balance. So if you're not taking care of yourself or you're not spending time with your family and you've got a successful business, that's not something we celebrate.
Right.
Where in business, a lot of times that's what people see. It's like, oh, it's the grind. It's the, you know, you've got to be at every event. Well, there's a, you know, unfortunately there's an impact to your family when you don't spend as much time with them. And so it holds you to a different level of accountability.
So you mentioned M10 and GoBundance. You and I have talked about GoBundance in the past. What's the difference between those two?
Yeah. So, well, GoBundance has both a men's and a women's division, which are great. They are separate. And so when we do women's events, it's just women and same for the men, which is awesome. I love the camaraderie of just being around other female powerhouses who have been, you know, blazing new trails and different things. And we're all diverse. You know, there's over 100 of us nationwide now. And it's definitely diverse, from a doctor who also syndicates on the side, my girlfriend, Dr. Peters, who's amazing, to, you know, somebody else that is a full-time real estate investor. And so you've got that diversity, where in M10, it is more of a balance between men and women. That's one of the things that we pride ourselves in, is that we are bringing in both feminine and masculine energy to be able to co-create ideas and other things to be able to make the world a better place.
And you're part owner of M10. Okay. That's interesting. So thinking about that, because in my EO form, we're all guys, but there's women throughout the organization, and there's
it. Were some women trying to get in yours.
There's,
Mark.
Are there, there, there may be, there may while. Be, we have, my form is, again, we end up becoming the composite of the people we spend the most time with. And so I have some really great people in my forum. You mentioned earlier, I'm sure this happens, is like when you put yourself around people who are smarter or have a different perspective, I mean, you can grow from them. For me, I'm inspired by being around very driven people, more than... It seems to me that especially when people reach a certain amount of success and a certain, let's call it age, they kind of want to coast. And I've seen that happen among several business owners. But for me, I like being around people who are very, very driven. That's what motivates me versus like, let's talk about retirement and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You're going to see diversity in that. And the one thing that I would say is that when you're around like-minded people that are driven, it will open your eyes to new possibilities. I think a lot of times we think, you know, and this was me years ago, that I didn't have the capacity to invest in the level that I do today. And as I started to mastermind, I even had a chapter in my last book on loneliness, that you have to learn how to be more lonely, ironically. Mm. And then I found the mastermind community and it was like, that's ridiculous. Like,
An interesting question is, because solitude, you know, one of my sayings is solitude is the death of the entrepreneur. Nobody builds a truly great company alone, but yet we all need our downtime.
Both. Such a mixture, right? And we can learn from these other people. And I think we all are different. I mean, the one thing I would tell you, there's no judgment. If someone chooses a path not to be driven or ambitious, I have no judgment for it. However, what I tend to find is that when I'm around driven and ambitious people, it allows me to even rise to a next level, to be able to create another and in my life and be able to serve on even a higher level.
It makes you think bigger a little
bit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because there are investment opportunities for everyone. you know, being a part of Growth Factory. So thank you for allowing me to be a mentor in that. Just being able to give back, even if it's a few hours a week here or there, is so fulfilling. You know, we all have gained so much wisdom on our journey that really where joy comes from is when we do have that opportunity to give back. And I know you're sitting here because you have a choice, right? You could be on a boat in Cabo, which I've seen you do before, and celebrate, but you have this deeper desire to be able to give back. And that's really what it's about.
Well, I thank you for helping me to, you know, helping me with my dream of igniting an entrepreneurial revolution and, you know, helping the Growth Factory founders. So it's much appreciated. And I think it's meaningful work because entrepreneurs do great things. And if we can help the up and comers, it's, I think it can be, make a huge impact. But you said something that I want to challenge you on here a little bit. Okay. You are using the word "and" like it's a good word. And I'm not saying it's a bad word, but in many cases in entrepreneurship or in life, we spread ourselves too thin. We get ourselves working on so many different things that nothing gets the right amount of focus. And you're using the word "and" like that's a good word. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely.
I'm just challenging you in a fun way.
Yeah. So here's what I'd say, Mark, is an "and" for somebody that might struggle a little bit with ADD or ADHD, the "and" becomes a device in which they use to remain highly distracted from the things that they need to do. So I encourage people to become a level of mastery in whatever it is that they're doing before they introduce a new "and." It's not, "I'm going to dabble." This
right.
is not about dabbling.
Yeah.
This is not about, you know, because I tend to look at, you know, psychology or what the basic forms of denial or other things is. We will distract ourselves with the next shiny object. That is not what this is about. This is about being realistic about where you are in your life, going deeper to that level of mastery that requires so much less energy when you get to a level of mastery. Like, I consider myself a self-care master. Like, it's just, it's what I do every day. And it is just a part of what and who I am. I don't have to put a lot of energy into doing it. It just happens naturally. Now, if you started to try to adopt a morning ritual right now, it might take a little bit more energy. And so I would encourage anybody out there not to start creating "ands" until you feel like you've mastered what you're doing. I shared the same thing, you know, when I was coaching businesses, is that you really should only have a few, maybe 2 to 3 ways that you drive, you know, revenue or other things before you introduce new ones, because otherwise you are going to be taking from those other areas. And we do have limited resources. That's the truth. And time, you know, I look at time as I have an abundance of it because I get to choose what I do with it. At the same time, if I'm going to take time, I'm going to look at my ROI. Like, what is my highest return on how I allocate my time, my money, other things? So as I invest in real estate, you know, most all of my real estate investor partners I've gotten through M10 or GoBundance because that's what they do full time. So I know that the person that I invest with is somebody that I can trust, and I really don't have a lot of energy that I put into it.
That's interesting. So let's talk about, we're going to bounce around a little bit. Let's talk about investments for a minute. And I wanted to make sure we talk about parenting, investments. So your GoBundance and M10 and even EO at some level, there it is a chance to meet people that are making investments. So you talked about investing alongside other people. Do you prefer that over being a sort of a maverick on your own?
Absolutely. I think it's just so much more fun when you're in partnership with other people that you trust, and they might be, you know, I have friends that are so excited about mini storages, right? That is what they eat, breathe, sleep, go to events all the time. I am not. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't fire me up.
Now,
but the cash flow fires me up, and it's a great investment. So I have those trusted people that I'm able to reach out to when it's time to invest.
Oh, interesting. It is. It's an interesting thing because, you know, many times if we're successful, diversification can be helpful to us, right? So again, this show is not about investment advice. It's more just thinking a little bit differently and getting into the mind of somebody who is successful and how they think about investments. But with that said, how do you break up your investment stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So first and foremost, my goal was financial freedom, which means I have enough passive income. And for those of you that really don't know what that means, it's just money that's coming in from something that I don't put any energy towards. It's not a W-2. It's not if you're managing a rental on your own or that kind of thing. It is just simply you've deployed some assets and you get a check every single month. So that was my first goal, was to create enough passive income to be able to pay all of my monthly expenses. So I was very aware of that budget too, and making sure that I drove those numbers down so that it was easier to get there. And so from there, then I really look at making a wide range of investments that are all for me. One thing that's very important is that they're world positive. You know, I work for one of the largest sustainability financing companies. Like, that's the reason we do what we do, is to make the world a better place and reduce climate change. And so anything that I invest in needs to be in alignment with what I'm doing. And then I try to just allocate things out between real estate, stock, you know, crypto, other things. And, crypto, you know, I look at crypto as my fun. It's fun. You know, it's something that 5 years from now, I hope it pays off. Am I going to, you know, lose it if it doesn't? Absolutely not. Right. So, you know, I definitely make sure that a good amount are stable, whether it's mini storages, multifamily, you know, hotels. I'll do different things, investing in startups and just try to diversify.
Startups are risky, my friends, and you don't get paid back very quickly, FYI.
If you get paid back, Mark.
Yeah. No. It's interesting because it's, as far as asset allocation in somebody's portfolio, I mean, we do, you mentioned the financial freedom and the cash flow, and those are things that don't come in the startup world. I get that a little bit when people are asking me about investments. Am I going to get a K-1 every year? Am I going to get, you know, am I going to get distributions? Not in tech startups. You don't. The companies tend to lose money for the first several years, but they become really valuable along the way, and then hopefully they exit and you get a big, you know, a nice payday at the end. That's more of the startup world, where owning something like a mini storage, that's more of a sure thing, and it's steady, and you get paid every month.
And you know exactly what to expect. Yeah. And so we all need, you know, different amounts of certainty and uncertainty. I think Tony Robbins does an excellent job talking about our basic needs. And I just look at it and say, like, what do I need to be certain? And then what can I play with? What can I afford to lose if something didn't work out? And that's why you do multiple ones too. You know, if you put all your eggs into one startup, it might be more challenging, where if you diversify and put them into multiple ones, then, you know, one of them is probably going to hit.
Yeah. Well, in GoBundance and in M10, what about the friendships? Because I have to imagine, right, when you are going on these excursions together, or, you know, anytime you spend a lot of time with people, you end up becoming friends. And Have those relationships sort of deepened even outside of the GoBundance framework or the M10 framework?
Absolutely. One thing that I would say is that, you know, it's like when you go to a small school, right? You don't know what you don't know. You make friends with the kids that go there, and that's just what it is. This puts you in proximity to other people that you might have more in common with, so you don't feel like it's not a choice. And I would say some of my greatest friendships have come out of both, and they truly are more of like my board of directors. So if I have a big decision to make, I know that I can turn to any of them and be able to do that. And we do have like pods or groups that you meet with on a regular basis. And so those people I travel with, you know, I talk to when there's challenges with the kids or whatever it might be. So they're some of the deepest friendships. And I still have all of my other amazing deep friendships too. But this is just the added bonus of having people that I can also invest with or go play with. You know, we're going to San Diego next week, And it's just, you know, 35 women from across the world that are all coming together to listen to some great speakers and, you know, go on boat trips and different things to be able to connect on a deeper level.
Some of these are sound like once in a lifetime type experiences. I mean, I've heard of people getting to hear, like, first of all, converging with 35 of your good friends in San Diego sounds like a once in a lifetime experience. But then if you bring in world-class speakers to inspire you or educate you, that can really become a game changer. And sometimes one nugget that comes out of an event like that, or one deep connection with a friend, it's worth every bit of the, you know, what it costs to run through some one of these things.
Absolutely. And what I would tell you is that the one thing people don't realize about masterminds is that the level of accountability, when you make an investment in yourself to connect with other people and to grow, like the level of accountability that it puts on you, even it just heightens it. And so it is making the most of it too. And knowing when you go in, like, I want to be able to connect with every single person that's there. And you're not going to go away with 35 new best friends, but you're going to go away with people where you're like, wow, you know, I might take this conversation to next level and look at their business opportunity, or we both have teenagers, or we're both this, or we're both that. So it makes it definitely is an investment.
So in terms of the ROI, so I'm referencing back to EO because it's what I know a little bit. And sometimes there's people where, let's say a couple of business partners, they're considering coming into the organization. And in my mind, EO, is affordable. I think it's maybe $7,000 a year, maybe something like that. But one of the business partners might be super conservative. Oh, you're not going to spend $7,000 to hang out with your buddies or for training. That's, you know, I don't see it. Where the other one does see the big picture long term. $7,000 a year, maybe you can't see it in the first year, but 5 or 10 years later, you're in a new line of work. You're investing into new things. It's more than paid for itself in over time.
Absolutely. Well, when you think about it, what should our primary focus be on our lives? In my opinion, success is worthless without joy and celebration. And that is the one thing so many people have a challenge doing, right? Like, you can't, a lot of times you can't go tell your peer group, like, oh my gosh, I just had this amazing business deal. Like, you're afraid to brag. You're afraid that they're mm-hmm. going to think that you're not humble. When you surround yourself with people that give you permission to be able to do that, it changes the complete dynamic, and you can't put an ROI on that. And I look at it from an accountability standpoint, and, you know, we use just ways of tracking our vision, our net worth, other things. And there is absolutely concrete proof that when you put yourself into that level of accountability, that you will grow not only your net worth, but also the level of joy and happiness that you have with your families and with, you know, the people around you.
Because you're sharing your goals or vision, the peer group sort of hold you accountable.
100%. Well, Mark, I mean, to be honest, like, there are a lot of times that I tell people, like, I'm going to do this. And like, why do you need to do that? Why can't you just be satisfied with what you've got? And that's not what I want in my life. I want somebody that says, and what's next? Like, what's next after that? Like,
that's it?
Then what? Like, what are you going to do then? Yeah.
Being challenged it's interesting because it's one of the challenges in being very, very successful is that the people that are in your life that are maybe less successful in that area, say it's your employees or maybe other people that know you that you went to high school with or something, they aren't challenging you in many ways because they already view you as successful. So they just look up to you. But you don't get that in GoBundance.
No.
I mean, they may look up to you, but they also challenge you.
Absolutely. And it's a balance, right? We always want to balance ensuring that we take the time to celebrate the success that we've had while we're continuing to create new desires. When you look deep at our psychology or other things, like, that is what we need to feel alive. Like, I want to feel alive and vibrant and radiant every day. I don't want to feel like, oh my gosh, I got to go get a cup of coffee so that I can get through my day. I don't want to live that way. Like, I want to live an inspired life. Well, inspiration comes from challenge, from growth, from new and exciting things. It doesn't mean that I don't continuously take care of the things that need to get done, but I am intentional about creating adventure and uncertainty so that I can feel inspired.
How does mastermind group overlap with, let's say, self-care, right? You talked about being sort of an enthusiast or whatever, somebody who really has an awareness about self-care and a deep understanding of that. Do they overlap or is that a separate compartment?
Absolutely. They overlap in the sense that we give ourselves permission. It is talked about regularly. You know, we do meditations. I just came back from an M10 event in Phoenix and, you know, I did a guided meditation for the team on abundance and finding ways to be able to remove abundance blocks. And it's an active part of the journey to self-actualization. Like, you have to put yourself first. And for those of you listening, and this might be a great segment into parenting, Mark, is that many of us are not putting ourselves first. We are putting our families, our businesses, and other places first, and giving yourself the permission to be able to do that. And it doesn't mean an 8-hour, you know, self-care deal. It could be 20 minutes in the morning. It could be a 30-minute workout. It just means that you're actually being intentional about taking care of your own emotional and physical needs before you start to serve other people.
Well, what do you do? Okay, so you're helping other people. Maybe we can see you. I'll share a little bit of what I do and what you do, and maybe we can see if there's any overlap, and maybe for other people, like how we think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you do? What's the day? What's self-care look like for you?
365 days out of the year, I wake up and I do a morning ritual. So it is, you know, I'm very faith-based. So, you know, I do read the Bible in a devotional, but I look at my goals, my vision, my affirmations, I journal and I meditate. And that is non-negotiable.
So that's all in your mind. That's like getting your head right.
Yep. And then my trainer shows up. Uh-huh. So I do have a trainer that comes in a few days a week. And that came after recognizing that on my goals, it had the same thing for many years that I wanted to do a certain level of weight training. I couldn't do it. I had to accept the fact that it's just not something that I'm self-motivated. Like I didn't beat myself up for it. I just knew like I need to budget to be able to bring a trainer in.
It helps to have somebody else there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you probably met my friend, Lorianne Code, who's
amazing. Yeah. She's great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So she
is part of that group. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. She's definitely changed my life in that regard. And so either her or somebody from her team shows up at 6 a.m. a few days a week. And then, you know, I have goals for myself. How much water, how much sleep. Sleep is absolutely the one thing that I would tell you creates the most energy for me. I am a get my 8 hours of sleep and I'm great. And I'm very intentional about doing that. And then, you know, making sure I get my cardio and spending time with other people. I have to be intentional about the connection because I can get into that mode of like, I work, I go home, I do my bath. Baths are a big part of my ritual too. And I've got to make sure that I've got this intentional time set aside to connect with other people.
I'm glad that you mentioned other people because I think that's one that I think a lot of people might forget. When COVID hit, I started trying to think about this area of my life and, I sort of broke it down into an acronym, SENT, sleep, exercise, nutrition, and thought. And those four areas need to be strong. If I'm going to be strong, they aren't always strong, but I do have routines again around, you know, exercise and all that and nutrition and so on. But it feels to me like people, I agree, they don't give themselves the allotted time that it takes to do the meditation, to do the workout, to spend time with the friends, and make sure they get enough sleep, right? They're burning the candle at both ends, trying to make sure Johnny, goes to his little league practice and gets his homework done and, you know, all these other things. And I got to go to work too.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a challenge, but I think here's the truth. No one sets the intention to be unhealthy. Nobody sets the intention to be disconnected from our children. No one sets these intentions not to get enough sleep. They accidentally happen because somebody hasn't been thoughtful about prioritizing them. So they have to go on the calendar before you give your energy away to something else. And the truth is, especially in the United States, people are leaving all their energy at work. Mm-hmm. They're not thoughtful about creating energy at work. Just a 20-minute break to be able to go outside in nature or to connect with somebody or whatnot is going to raise your energy level back up.
So do like a combined work with your health.
Yeah, just find ways to get more energy, because if you're leaving all your energy, then the best of intentions go out of the window. That's why I do it in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's easier. It has to come before I leave my energy at work, but I'm also intentional about creating more at work.
What time do you get up in the morning?
It just depends. Typically 2 hours before my first meeting is how I normally do it.
Oh, okay.
But anywhere between 5:30 to 6:30.
You get up early too. Yeah. I get up a little bit earlier than that. I go to bed early. I get up early. I don't know why that is, but for me, I get up way early and it gives me downtime. And then usually I 0 dark 30, I'm leaving the house to go to CrossFit or yoga. And for me, I'm alone during that time. Maybe it's my meditation time, because I really don't technically meditate, but it's my alone time to think things through in life. And that's really helpful. But what happens when you get up really early, you got to go to bed early, which sometimes is not, that's hard to do, because good fun stuff happens at night.
Yep, absolutely. I was joking yesterday, like, the only reason why I stay up late is to wait for my son to come home from curfew now. That's it. No, I mean, and it's definitely something that you just have to make a priority. Sleep is so important to our bodies and to the restoration of our brains and our thinking and everything else. It has to be a priority.
Well, let's transition then into parenting a little bit. So in thinking about that, you are what I would call super mom, right? You're managing to do all this stuff, success in business, success with your own self-care, but then you've got great kids and you're staying up and making sure that curfew is adhered to.
Yeah, parenting is one of those fascinating ones. It is. What's interesting to me is that when someone gets pregnant, they spend so much time reading, right? The what to expect when you're expecting. They're obsessed about what's going on. And then it's almost like the kids get here and we think that we just are going to, you know, parent. And the truth is, we end up tending to either parent the same way that we were parented or the opposite way of what we were parented. And there's always a good in between, right? There are things that we learn from our parents that are positive and things that we want to do differently. What I would say is that more parents need to be conscious of how they're parenting their children. The expectations that we place on children today create massive amounts of unworthiness. And that's what we're really seeing. We're seeing a spike in childhood depression and anxiety. And much of that is just simply because of the pressure that's put on them, not only in schools, but in sports, and then also from their home life too. And so I made a decision, you know, when my kids were younger, that I was going to have radical acceptance of who they were and really give them an opportunity to be who they wanted to be, rather than to constantly put the level of pressure on them. Because I set the intention, like, what are the values that I really want my kids to leave with? I want them to be passionate. I want them to be joyful. And I want them to love themselves. Like, that's what we deal with, honestly, in adults. And I still do. I came off of a meditation that I did for a group this morning. And one of the comments that was shared was just, you know, her parents, when she was young, they just worked so hard. She didn't see them. And so it was, you know, it's just deep in her being that's just what she's had to do. And she was been miserable because she just felt like she had to do the same things. And you don't realize that what our kids really need is they need quality present time with us. These phones and technology and everything else have really just, you know, they've rewired these kids a little bit. And just, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes a day of just being fully present, where they see you be fully present, even if they aren't, is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to them. Yeah. And they learn way more from what we do. So your kids watching you get up early, do the things you do, is the better teacher than what you said.
Well, I think I've set a good example in some areas, bad example in others. And when I agree with what you're saying in terms of parenting, but that's, I'll admit, that's probably not the way I raised my kids. I was, My wife was probably more that way, so that's probably why they turned out okay. But I was expecting them to be very goal-oriented, and I'm probably the type of person that drove them, right? They made a decision. I helped them stay accountable.
Yeah.
I didn't put pressure on them other than to keep your commitments, which led to two very ambitious children, right? They're very driven. But maybe there's issues with, you know, because of that.
No, that's great.
I mean,
but
I love that.
Naturally probably driven.
Maybe, I don't know. I feel like, luckily, you know, we're building this family compound. We all want to live on the same place. And so my main thing was that we would be committed.
Right.
We would be committed to each other. Number one, family first. We're very committed to each other. So the 8 grandkids and all that, we're all living out. Well, I'm not living there yet, but we're all going to, live out there. My son and my daughter and the kids all live out there today. But my wife and I are building the house. We'll be out there soon. So that was real. That worked out really well. They're very driven, which worked out really well. But I sort of wonder, like, I look around at today's society just to challenge you. Is like, aren't there a lot of lazy people out there? Anybody listening? It's like, okay, all this acceptance and, you know, I love you no matter what. That's all really good. But why are there so many lazy people?
Yeah, what I would say is that I look at laziness not as laziness. I look at it as they just haven't found anything that they're passionate about yet. And so our job as parents is to continuously allow our kids to try new things until they find something that they're passionate about. There's no one that's not passionate about anything. And to make sure that they don't fall into that trap of convenience or, you know, one thing that our brain loves is familiarity. Mm-hmm. So if you've got them watching TV every day, that's familiar to them. They're going to love it. So you've got to get them up. You got to get them active. You got to get them trying new things so that they can find something that they're passionate about. It's not about giving them permission to just do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. It's just keeping them into a place where they're exposed to different things. And I look at my kids have traveled extensively since they were young. My children have had a blessed lifestyle. That lifestyle is something that they're passionate about. Mm. They're not going to be able to be lazy in their careers and maintain that lifestyle. So there's different ways to be able to inspire them other than, you know, making them feel not enough.
Right. I agree 100% with that. So how, in terms of juggling all that though, okay, so you've done this. I mean, so now your son's how old now?
He's 17.
And how old's your daughter?
19.
19. So they're now more self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's got,
yes.
Isn't it getting a little, it's not easy having teenagers, but it's a little bit as they begin to drive and do other things. And eventually, like me, they're empty, you know, we're empty nesters. And it actually becomes like no work type thing, right? You know what I mean? You have that to look forward to, right?
Oh
so
my gosh,
almost
yeah.
like just joy in seeing them to achieve. That's coming for you, but it can be, but think back just like 10 years ago when, you know, you needed to make their lunch and you got all these little things because they're 7, 8, 9. Did you see it getting easier? What was the
100%,
hardest time?
Okay. 100%. So I always look at life in seasons. You have to enjoy the season that you're in. You can still stay focused on the season that you enjoy the most. And I know like I enjoy summer the most, but I'm not going to complain about winter. I'm going to enjoy whatever that brought to it. What I would say is when it comes to balance and making sure, it is having whatever amount of time that you can make, because there are a lot of working people that are on listening to this call and they don't have the ability to have the flexibility or whatnot. It is just make the most of the time that you have with your children when you have it, rather than focusing on the things that you don't like that they do. Our kids, there's just enough pressure on them. Like, focus on what's amazing and trust that they're going to get through whatever season it is. Cause like, I know when my son was 13 and found Fortnite, that game, like, holy moly, that was a rough season.
I could not
get him to do anything else. And so I just stayed focused on the fact that this is a season. He will grow out of it. We will be connected on a deeper level one day again soon. And that's what you've got to be able to do. It's just, you know, and find alternatives for them to do out other than just playing the games.
And I think, you know, Fortnite, I've wondered about that too. Kids playing too many video games. And it's like, some of these, that industry is blowing up. And in some ways, in order to be normal in society to fit in, you know, having some exposure to video games is helpful. And if you're going to be working in that industry, a lot of exposure to that could be really helpful. So it's not necessarily wrong to be a video game aficionado. But thinking about that, so one of the questions that gets brought up a lot with me is this whole work-life balance. And, you know, you hear people say stuff like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I would argue that point, but I want your thoughts on this as well. I feel like there's these windows of opportunity in life that we need to seize, whether it be with our family, maybe it's in friendships or in business. There are these windows. You don't get a lot of chances to make a good first impression,
absolutely,
right? You start a new job, it's time to be great. You can't be the person taking every other Friday off if you're starting a new job, or if you're starting a business. This is not the time that you're going to be going on a lot of family vacations. It's so you pick these windows, and these are to me the sprints in life, and you have to earn those chances to seize a different opportunity. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at, so let's start with parenting. The season that's most important, other than, you know, when they're infants, because they need so much love, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what happens when a child doesn't receive love. It'll be failure to thrive, right?
Yep.
But the most imprintable years are between 4 and 10. And trust me, I'm constantly helping people remove abundance blocks from that season, from parents not realizing what they were saying were having a deep impact. So if there's a way to never say we can't afford that again, or you have, I mean, there's just different things that can really cause a lot of challenges later in life. We want people to be open to this idea that they're the creator, that they can create whatever reality they want. And so when my son would ask for things, I'd never say we can't afford that. I would just say, wow, that's awesome that you want that. You know, you should probably put that on your goals. And I just leave it at that and not even touch it. And some of the things that he wanted back then are probably still on that goal list. But we've got to be thoughtful about the season that we're in. So if you're starting a business, of course, you're going to work more, but you can stay focused on creating that long-term desire of, hey, I'm going to sell it, or this is going to happen. And you can almost feel as if it's already happened, so that you don't have any resistance or negativity towards having to work hard today. So definitely look at things in seasons. And like you said, it's just, you've got to play full out when you've got that opportunity.
So 4 to 10, that's interesting that those are the most impressionable. That's like some scientific or studied fact. And I'm not disagreeing, but so if you have children that age, spend as much time with them
quality time.
Yeah.
So it's always quality over quantity, right? Like it's just finding those moments that you can, you know, bring more curiosity to the table. I think as parents, a lot of times it's easier to tell somebody what to do than to just say, well, what do you think? Like, what do you think that you should do right now? What do you think would be a great solution to being able to, you know, deal with that? And then the other things that I would say are to reduce the amount of judgment that you spew out in your own life. Our children hear it. When you're on the phone talking negatively about other people or whatnot, that just creates a lot of toxicity. And it's going to teach them that it's okay to do the same thing. Life is really simple. I mean, if you don't judge other people and you stay in focusing on what's satisfactory and what you desire, like, you'll get anything you want. It's when we judge and we focus on what's not working that we get off track and end up attracting more of that.
Amazing. Okay, so what else do we want to cover? One of the things I want to make sure we do before I forget is, if people want to get involved in M10 or GoBundance, do you just get on the website or something like that?
Yeah, or just reach out to me directly. Yeah. Just at, you know,
on
Kelly
at
kellyresendez.com. Just email me, shoot me an email. I'd be happy to just kind of, you know, have a chat and guide you in the right direction. But I think it's important just to have that connectivity.
Yeah. Okay. Kelly at kellyresendez.com. That's cool. That's good. Nice, easy email to remember. And then in terms of like rounding out the holistic experience we call life, any other words of wisdom or things that we should make sure to be covering on today's chat?
Yeah, I would say, just because it's been top of mind for me lately, is that you have to dedicate more time to adopting the right mindset. So if you aren't where you want to be in your life today, like if you haven't created the level of success or joy or health or whatever it is, really take a look at your mindset and challenge the beliefs, challenge the standards in which you've set for yourself. Because that's really what it's about, is just being able to say like, okay, well, if I want a maximum amount of wealth and health and love and everything else, like what might be minimizing, you know, me from obtaining that? And I know I spend a significant amount of time on my own mindset and helping other people, you know, shift theirs. And it has to be something that's a daily practice. You know, we, again, have so much programming from our childhood, from society, now from social media, you know, this comparison world that we live in. And it's really up to you to be able to look at it and say, what are the things that I need to eliminate? There might be people, you know, there might be toxic people in your life today that really aren't bringing you joy. Or if you're on social media and it's not making you happy, get off. Like, you don't have to look at it. And, you know, what you said earlier about like the gaming or whatnot, what is unhealthy is spending too much time doing one thing. And I think that's where humans have gotten off track, is that the comfort, the familiarity of what we always do is normally on the opposite of what we normally want to create. So if you're going to watch Netflix, it's going to be extremely difficult to get yourself up off the couch and go work out after you've done that. So go do it before. You know, if you're going to eat healthy, get the food yesterday instead of today. Because like now, I'm hungry, I'm going to order something that's not as healthy. Like, you've got to really be more intentional about creating the life that you choose. Because I am just so over how unworthy and how much shame so many people that I come into contact with have. It really, you know, it saddens me that so many people are hard on themselves because they can't get past their own self-sabotage mark.
So it's interesting that you say that. One of the things I hear about people, you know, people have hanging with Haney here in my office, and there's some people that dream really, really big. And then there's other people that I will say they would have what most people might see as maybe a smaller, more conservative type dream or vision for what they want to be. Do you feel like people should dream bigger?
I feel like people should dream authentically, which means they need to spend enough time alone in solitude to be able to create like whatever their visions are. So many of us just have like, we might set goals because we think we have to do something in order to pay our bills. Like, yes, get to a level of security or safety where you do have the time to really authentically decide what you want to do. Because for one person, they might want to coach football, and that's what really inspires them. And is that to one person not dreaming big enough? Who knows? It's just whatever that dream is, make sure it's authentic, so it's your own, not your wife's, not your husband's, not your parents', not your partner, not your kids', not society's. Just authentically connect with it, because we will accomplish whatever we desire when it really truly is our own.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like when I set my, I'm a former football coach, so you're speaking to my heart. But for me, it always helps even today to dream as big as I can, almost grandiose type of thinking in the realm that is important to me. So now it's an entrepreneurship. I want to create an entrepreneurial revolution. If it was football, it would be, you know, I would want to be the top high school football coach in the state, right? Yep. That would be my way of, and of course, some of these things are very difficult to achieve, but that's what gives, I don't get inspired as much unless the dream has this, nah, you can't do that. That to me, that helps me. Not everybody's built like that, but that's one of the things that I feel like has helped me over the years.
Absolutely. But you also have the discipline and the mindset to be able to support whatever desire you create. Many people don't. So I would tell you that always best to start small. Oh. For somebody, just, you know, if you're not somebody that set goals regularly for yourself, or you've had the habit of sabotaging yourself, start small. prove to yourself that it's something that you can do, build your confidence, and then just continuously move forward. Because if you go all in grandiose, your brain's going to be like, no, that's not possible. You've never done that before. Like, our egos are strong, and our ego is really just that confined of our past experiences telling us what to expect in the future. It likes to be right. So, and that's where self-sabotage comes from.
Interesting. Okay, so only a few minutes left. Closing thoughts. I mean, I think you shared a tremendous amount. You've got me to think a little bit about how I'm going to live, but also help others, because I think you make a great point. You made several great points, but I definitely like the last one of get some small wins. We need some small wins to avoid self-sabotage. That's not my mindset. It's not how I think, but it's how others are, and I need to be in a helpful, you know, I need to be working in a helpful way.
Yeah. So I would say just create a vision for how you want to feel in your life and start to go after it right away. If you want more joy, health, abundance, whatever it might be, just create a vision for how you want to feel. We are the creators of our own reality by the steps that we take every day. And I think anything is possible. And make sure that you just find a like-minded group of people that are going to be able to support you on that journey. Learn how to ask for help better. You know, that creates flow. So many of us don't like asking for help because it makes it seem like maybe we aren't good enough or whatnot. And then just adopt some rituals that you can do for your self-care every day, whether it's just as small as taking a 15-minute walk or drinking more water, whatever it might be, and give yourself permission to do that.
I love it. Kelly Resendez, thank you for coming on the show, sharing your wisdom, inspiring me, and I'm sure others. Kelly at kellyresendez.com. If you want to get involved with one of these mastermind groups. But again, thank you for everything. Thanks for what you're doing for the Growth Factory, and thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. It's been so much fun, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, welcome back to the show. Only have about a minute left. I want to thank Kelly for her insights, for what she's doing for us in helping growth factory companies to get over the hump. She is such a wealth of knowledge, and she's one of those people that's willing to bring it to the startup community here in Sacramento. So here at the Growth Factory, just a special thank you to Kelly, a personal thanks to Kelly. And to anybody out there that really wants to get involved in the Growth Factory, if you have had some success like Kelly has and you want to be a mentor, if you have interest in getting involved as a startup, if you have involvement as even just a larger corporation, that's what we're doing with the Growth Factory. We are rallying people who are civic-minded, believe in Sacramento, believe in the power of entrepreneurship, and want to be around the most promising startups in the region. So if you are that person, go to growthfactory.us or hit me up at the Mark Haney. I want to know you. I want to meet you. I want to get you acclimated to what we are doing here at the Growth Factory. So to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, for our freedom, for our security, and our way of life, to the 13 stripes and the 50 stars and that one big American dream, always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side. Thanks for listening to The Mark Haney Show. It's our goal to inspire, educate all the up-and-coming entrepreneurs so they can change the world. If you like today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share it so we can help more entrepreneurs unleash their full potential. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement. Twice.